This is CliffCentral.com.
She worked hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She worked hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Yes, we had fun at Anthea's office on Friday. We had such a good time, huh?
Yeah, it was great having you guys around. It really was fun. Everybody very sociable.
Did Amanda offend any of your colleagues?
No, she was very polite to them. It was just Ben's friend, I believe.
Oh, Ben's friend was rude to them?
Well, Gareth, she didn't have any time.
Rude. Oh, she was
She didn't
rude,
have time to be rude to anybody else because she was just so busy getting stuck into my friend.
Yeah.
You should have seen Sia, though. He was telling everybody about the market and how it performed and what he thought of the rand.
Oh, really?
when did you eventually have to kick him out?
Not too late. Not too long.
All right, so let's talk about the markets, shall we?
Yeah, I'm nervous to come in after Ben's sport because the market news is not much better. We were down 2% last week, and of course, Naspers was the main driver there. I mean, I think this whole issue with Naspers, first of all, they released their first half 18 results. The share's now a 3,530 Rand share. Do you think that it was a 4,100 share not so long ago?
Hmm.
So the problem, I think, is that when you're releasing a good set of results, the last thing you want is bad news from the company. And this whole story with
MultiChoice,
exactly,
and Atul Gupta and the SABC,
25 million rands worth to ANN7 and the Guptas. And actually, I think Koos Bekker's response and Bob van Dijk are even worse. Basically, they're saying that MultiChoice is such a small part of Naspers, it doesn't actually matter. And it's not Naspers's problem, it's MultiChoice.
Well, don't they want to split them off? Don't they want to like have a separate company that handles the Naspers stuff and that includes Tencent and then this little shitty offshoot which includes MultiChoice? And
so what we want is for them to split Tencent out of Naspers and then Naspers will hold, you know, the classified ads and
all the
those
local
kind of
businesses that aren't making any money.
But they don't want to. They don't.
Of course not, because those companies are buoyed by the Tencent business.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's completely true.
Are they worth anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're finally making money. So this is the thing, right? Naspers is actually being undervalued by about 1,000 Rand per share by some people's calculations. So it should be a 5,000 Rand share if they split it out. You would get your 10-cent value and then all the other little businesses that are happening. And they don't want to. And everybody's going, please let us have that. Please, like, free that extra money that's sitting there. I'm not sure why the market is still discounting all the other local businesses, to be honest. But I'll tell you what, the reaction to this whole MultiChoice is not good. I think it's a media storm waiting to happen for Naspers. And as soon as the foreigners get hold of it, it becomes another KPMG. So I must admit, as much as I love this Naspers share and Tencent and the fact that we're riding on it and that we're still trading at a discount to our rump, it makes me nervous.
Would you have been happier to offload at 4,000? Could have, would have, should have.
Hindsight 2020 and all that.
Would you have?
I probably would have, yes, for an extra 500 Rand a share. Mm-hmm. But I'd certainly be buying it here, though. That's the thing, right? So at 4,000, I'd be offloading because in case it came off, which it did. And at this level, 3,500, I'd be loading back up. So
right.
I'm just going to sit out and be patient.
Well, Naspers, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We had a bit of macro news. Our private sector credit extension growth came out last week, slightly weaker than expected at 5.4% year on year, where in October it was 5.6%. And this private sector credit extension is not just households. It's also corporate lending, which has also been very depressed, I should say.
Yeah.
And what it's showing is that people are finally tightening their belts and are nervous, and we are not going to spend our way out of a poor economy. I mean, it's such a shame because US consumer confidence came in last week at its highest level ever. In fact, the S&P 500, this is the fifth year, only ever the fifth year since 1927, that the S&P index has had 11 positive calendar months in the same calendar year.
Wow.
It's quite spectacular.
So if they do that for December, they would have had the whole year.
I think it'll be the first ever.
That's incredible.
It will be. So really the American
Donald
market.
Trump is the greatest.
There you go. He can
I'm
take
the
credit.
Greatest president. You can't take your credit, Obama. I've been in for a year.
Look at him. He's great.
He's loving it. He thinks this is so important. Have you seen him boasting about it on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have. Shut up.
I know. It's so annoying. And then the other thing I looked at, because, you know, we got downgraded and the rand is completely counterintuitive.
Yeah.
And so are our
The rand
bonds.
Has been strong.
I cannot explain it. I just have no idea. So I keep looking for reasons and trying to find explanations and figure out, you know what we say in our industry, right? When the facts change, we change our mind. But I cannot find any facts to change my mind.
Jacob
about
Zuma
a
is doing a terrific job. What do you mean?
Oh, that's what it is. I'm missing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the sarcasm today. So I must tell you, I looked at, you know, this world government bond index that we keep saying we got downgraded from, and there's 50 billion rands to flow out of it, and
yeah.
They'll sell down our bonds. And I was like, well, why aren't they selling our bonds? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I must tell you, I found one country, Portugal, who got kicked out of the WGBI, the World Government Bond Index, in, when was it? Around, you know, the global financial crisis.
2008,
remember I told you Ireland got downgraded in 2009 and they're now the fifth richest. Anyway, same story with Portugal. Portugal was 0.4% of the bond index, as are we, coincidental. And here's the difference, though. Their yields compressed from 13% to 4%. Our yields have stayed below 10%. Like, out on the 10-year government bond, which is really weird. It's, in my opinion, as if no one cares about us, actually. So,
no, it's like we're such a small drop in the ocean, they're actually just not bothered.
Yeah, yeah. So when they get kicked out, people sell their bonds and it's all terrible. But then a while later, not much later, their bonds, their yields compress. So when you know how this works, right? With bonds, you buy high and sell low on yields.
Mm-hmm.
With shares, you buy low, sell high to make a profit.
Right.
Went from 13 to 4%, and that's like a 75% return. And then I realized the difference is that the ECB owns 30% of Portugal's bonds, and there's no ECB to come and save us.
Yeah. So but what about the BRICS bank, Anthea?
They don't have money to save us. That's not their mandate.
Oh.
So you do understand the BRICS bank is not the ECB, right? They don't make our policy. They don't buy our bonds or support
us. Again, I'm just throwing on more sarcasm. It's okay, though.
All right. So I'm going to just ignore you then.
All right. And company news.
All right. Let's talk about company news. Where do we want to start? We've spoken about Bidvest. Great set of results. Sorry, Naspace we spoke about. I want to speak about Bidvest because they had an analyst day last week. Management seem really upbeat at the moment, despite this weak South African economy. But then I think they're definitely looking offshore to make more acquisitions. The last acquisition, Noonan, that they made, or the last big one, I should say, has actually delivered in excess of management expectations. So they're all very excited. And then they spoke a lot about selling off their non-core assets. So Adcock Ingram, the pharmaceutical business.
Right.
Comair, the one we hold.
Yes.
Because we're very excited about it. They're looking to sell their, I think it's a 20% stake in Comair. And they've said that they actually have a buyer now.
Would you hold on to those Comair shares?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a bit counterintuitive that Bidvest are selling now because there's a lot still to come. Comair are doing particularly well. They've still got this SAA claim that needs to be paid. And we think they're going to win it. Comair are going to win over SAA. Of course, the question is, where's SAA going to find the money? Oh, hang on, your taxpayer money. And then, of course, Bidvest have also said they're going to sell their stake in Mumbai Airport.
Mm.
So it's very exciting. And then management are quite comfortable gearing up the balance sheet. They've said to 2.5 times EBITDA level, which gives them about 12 billion rand to play with. They're on a 3 billion rand a year free cash flow. So you add another billion onto that, and then they've got a nice war chest. So effectively, they've got 20 billion rand to go out and play with for acquisitions.
Wow.
That's a nice little shopping trip.
What do you think they would buy?
Well, they've said they're looking locally and offshore. Grindrod Freight Business, Mercantile Bank, and then offshore they've got a couple of services and commercial products. I mean, they have to go big, right? Because to move the needle for Bidvest these days, like small companies are just going to disappear onto the balance sheet or disappear into the numbers. So they do need to buy big, I'm afraid. So right. It is difficult. It's not as easy as initially when Brian Joffe was building this business.
All right.
Put it that way. And then FirstRand has a new chairman, Roger Jardine, because Lowry Dippenaar, one of the founders, is now stepping down. Well, he will step down on the 31st of March. So Sizwe, thank you very much. That is so hard to do. actually declined and said he wasn't available as the new chairman, and so they put in Roger Jardine. We all like Roger Jardine. He's been around forever. He sits on a lot of the FirstRand boards, very kind of stable, solid character. So not too much going on there. And then lastly, I must tell you about Advitech, because we always talk about them, right? They put out a voluntary disclosure last week saying that they had uncovered fraud in the business to 35 million rand or and a half million rand. And that's after tax figures. It's about 8% of profit after tax.
Is it time to sell?
Well, so I was sat on the on my shares when this came out thinking, when was this? This was Friday morning, in fact. If I get half a chance to sell my shares, I'm going to. Share opened 7% down, and I was like, oh, at 50, it was about 15 rand 10. We're thinking 14, 13 and a half it'll go to, and it didn't get there. In fact, it bounced back, and I think it bounced back because it only closed. Last time I checked, it was 2% down.
Right.
And then you guys arrived for drinks. I don't actually know where it closed. but what I'm trying to say is that the PIC owns 10% and Coronation own 20%. So I think that a whole lot of asset managers was selling and then it got propped up by Coronation and PIC.
Oh.
Because if you have a 20% stake in a business, you're not going to let it go under, especially if you've got free cash, right?
Well, you just buy more shares in it.
Exactly, because it's cheaper, so, cheaper now than it was previously.
What would you do?
So I'm just going to hold on to my shares. Because I like the business anyway, and this, now that the fraud has been uncovered, like there's nothing I can do about it. The share's down. It's not great. But hopefully they'll fix the problem, or they'll fix the hole, the leakage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about one or two things?
Well, you can ask me about Bitcoin again.
No, I'm going to ask you about like Ascendus. What's happening there?
So they've done a rights issue because they needed more money to go on their shopping spree. But yeah, it's not been a great story. We haven't had...
Down 8%.
I know. It's just an unfortunate story, I'm afraid. It's really disappointing.
And Steinhoff?
That's the most annoying share in my portfolio, actually. So Steinhoff is just ridiculously cheap at the moment, and they just have not recovered from all this drama with the German regulators, and you know their previous JV partner, Andreas something or other. He keeps attacking Steinhoff, saying there's a problem, and the regulators keep investigating, and then nothing happens. And nothing's come of it, but the share just can't seem to recover. It's become like, instead of being the perfect rand hedge, it's actually turned around and acting like a local share. So when the rand's, you know, it's just not reacting properly.
All right.
I think everyone's just worried about the legal issues around their tax. They should have an outcome for us in the next couple of weeks. I think there's actually three cases on the table at the moment. And we'll wait and see.
Okay.
So I think some people think where there's smoke, there's fire. That's right. What I think. I think they're fine. I think it's cheap and we should be buying.
Okay, Anthea. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
This is CliffCentral.com.